You are listening to Punk News Podcast. I don't know what episode this is. Back to the Punk News Podcast. As you heard on last episode, this is John, features out of John Gentile. As you heard with me and Hallie Bullitt, we're not sure if the last episode was 501 or 500.1 or post 500 party root down. That's the same with this episode. Adam's not here this week, but don't worry, listener. Adam's not having an emotional crisis like I've picked on him from the past. I actually think Adam is quite rejuvenated and excited to the podcast, which I'm excited about that as well. I think Adam is pumped about the podcast. However, today he's being a man and he's handling man-type duties, which Adam should be commended. So Adam is taking care of stuff that really probably isn't even really his job to take care of, but he's being a good person and taking care of it. So Adam should be commended for that. So he's not going to be in this episode. He might pop in later. We'll see. But until then, we've got another great person on the podcast. We've got news editor M. Moore. M. Moore, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sad are you that Adam's not here? Or are you happy? Are you thrilled?
Ooh, tough question. Well, now I'm the only one representing Canada, so.
That's true. So anyway, we're here with M. Moore.
Hello.
I think pretty much everyone knows who M is now. She's been doing news for, I guess, about a year now. She's been doing an awesome job and bringing some nice spice to the site. So M, you know, let's just talk about this briefly. Okay. I talked about Hallie with this, but episode 500, remind me to talk to you about episode 500 after we do this. What was your take on 500? Was it awesome or did it suck?
It was really good. I was so nervous because I wasn't sure. Like, I know everyone had their interviews, but for some reason I, like, stayed up really late and prepared questions for everybody. So it's just like,
You didn't get to use them. I feel so bad about that.
No worries.
Yeah.
No worries at all. No, it was really awesome, and I'm really glad I was on, and it was really nice to meet everyone, and the Keith Morris interview was great. Everyone's just such a good interviewer. You're such a good interviewer. Adam's such a good interviewer. Hallie's such a good interviewer. Everyone's just awesome, so.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. I did feel bad that you didn't get as much action on it as you would like. However, right now, M and I are working on doing a John and M featured interview with a cool artist that we hopefully will take place. We're working on it now, and we'll have that on the podcast. And I'm really excited to see what M has the interview about. So M, I'm sorry you didn't get to do more on episode 500,
but we'll
try to. I mean, we actually had stuff for you planned, but it kind of fell through, and that's just the chaotic stuff with the big ones, you know. Sometimes things just, you know. So, anyways, we'll have M do some really cool stuff. In the future, so that's that. So let's check out some mail. Let's see here. I really should learn to pull it up before we even do the podcast. And I'm not on my usual computer, so if I can't pull it up real quick, then we just won't do mail this week. Although we did get some good mail, and I'm just going to keep vibing. And what's happening in your neck of the woods? What's going on? What's happening?
It's been way too hot here. It's been absolute hell, but at least it's, like, summery weather, which isn't kind of nice. We've had a huge ant problem.
Ants?
Yeah. Ants. Yeah, we were, like, battling ants for a good, like, 2 weeks at least. But, like, it seems like they're gone now, so can breathe, like, a sigh of relief. But now there's a spider wave coming, so it's kind of like, oh, got to get more raid.
You don't live in some like post-apocalyptic like war zone where like ants are like 50 feet tall or anything like that, do you?
Sometimes it feels like it.
Well, we've got these Chinese lanternflies over here. Anyways, I'm having a problem with pulling up the Punk News Podcast mail right now. So we will hit mail next week. You can always use that podcast at punknews.org. Let's hit the news. Let's see here. Oh, okay. First of all, here's the news for you. Smash Mouth. They played Sturgis. I know what Sturgis is. Do most people know what Sturgis is, or is that kind of like esoteric information?
I had to look it up.
Okay, so here's what Sturgis, it's a big motorcycle rally. I think it's 80 years old by now, and all the bikers go to Sturgis and have a big, like, literally 2-week-long party in Sturgis, and it's pretty crazy. Recently, I guess they started having musical acts there. Perhaps to the chagrin of some, they had a Sturgis festival this year, despite that it's COVID-19, and you really should be social distancing. Anyway, at the event, Smash Mouth played after Trapped. And when Smash Mouth played, people didn't wear masks. They didn't keep 6 feet apart. They treated it just like any other concert. And during the show, the main Smash Mouth guy, Steve Harwell, he said, "Now we're all here together tonight, and we're being human once again. F that COVID shit." Very intelligent comments from Smash Mouth, which I certainly expect from, you know, the likes of Smash Mouth and the high artistic level of them. Other bands that are playing Sturgis is Night Ranger, the Kenny Wade Shepherd Band, Buck Cherry, Lit, 38 Special, Quiet Riot, Reverend Horton Heat, and Bone Thugs and Harmony, all your favorites, as well as Trapped. And so a lot of people were like, oh, and actually, in response to this, the city of Sturgis set up COVID checkpoints, testing for residents, and they actually rerouted traffic away from Native American reservations to make sure that COVID doesn't get into the reservations, which would be really bad. I feel as though it is crazy in that science is now politicized. Like, politics is subjective opinion. Science is objective fact. COVID does kill people. It does spread by close contact, and it certainly is an issue in North America right now. But somehow, the Sturgis guys and friggin' Smash Mouth of all people are like, "Oh, we don't care about COVID. We don't think it's a problem." And then they got together and ignored all the rules and threw a concert anyways. Which, listen, if it was just those knuckleheads that got it and they got sick, I'd say fine, I don't care. You want to get sick and die? By your own choice, fine, go ahead and do it. The problem is these knuckleheads get it, and they spread it to other people, and it never goes away. So really, when you're doing these kinds of things, it's selfish, it's annoying, and really, we could be done this bullshit by now. Netherlands has done this bullshit by now. New Zealand has done this bullshit by now. But because people have to go see Smash Mouth and Trapped and Night Ranger, we still have this problem, and it feels like we're no further out of it now than we were four months ago. And I think it speaks to a greater thing. Is I think people are feeling extremely defeated right now. And I think people are feeling like, well, we're never going to get out of this. So what's the point of fighting it? Let's just get involved with it, you know, which I think is the wrong move. But it seems like nobody's happy. It seems like everybody's down and out. And the reason is because these idiots can't wear a stupid mask and can't not go see Night Ranger for 4 months. I mean, listen, my entire life I've gone without seeing Night Ranger for 4 months. My entire life I've gone without seeing Smash Mouth for 4 months. I don't know why these knuckleheads can't do it these 4 months. And what's your take on this? Are these idiots, or are they just people that really should know better, or they don't know better, or maybe you think COVID's a big hoax and you love Trump? And you think it's all a big conspiracy by, I guess, the Rothschilds or something, and that all this is really just a big scam. That's got to be your perspective, right?
Oh, it's the mask companies. You got to know that by now. but no, like, come on, you have to know better at this point. Like, we've been in lockdown. Well, states have been in lockdown for longer, I think. Now, I don't know. Time is an illusion. It doesn't exist. But anyway, like, come on. I get feeling defeated and stuff, but at least if you go, wear a mask, because, like, this is a potential super spreader event where you're infecting, like, so many more people than just yourself, you know? And I think that's what people have to realize is, like, okay, sure, you don't give a shit about yourself. Like, good for you. But what you do, your actions have direct consequences on everybody else that you might not realize, like the butterfly effect kind of thing. So that's just something. And and I know it's a hard time financially for bands and not having the tours and everything, but putting your fans in like danger of something that is potentially deadly is very telling. You know, it's like they're sending a pretty strong message. They don't care if you live or die. And I think that's scary to have to get to that point.
Smash Mouth doesn't care if you live or die. I like that statement. It sounds very anarcho-punk. You said you realize it's a hard time for bands, but if everyone was not an idiot, we could basically be done with this by now. But the problem is everyone's an idiot, and by everyone, I mean like 5% of the population. And the problem is that 5% is screwing up for 95% of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it never ends.
I will say that if these rinky-dink little bands can not tour and still survive, then friggin' Smash Mouth can take a couple months off the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's been a year, Smash Mouth. It's been a few months. Like, you could not tour for a few months, Smash Mouth. I mean, oh, man. Yeah. What's your opinion on the lineup for Sturgis? A lot of people were surprised by the lineup. Like, Woodbikers want to see Night Ranger. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense, but with Smash Mouth. I mean, 38 Special makes sense, you know. Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band makes sense. Buck Cherry, all right. You know, Quiet Riot, I'm seeing it. But, you know, Lit, Smash Mouth, Trapped, Bones, Thugs, and Harmony. What's your opinion of the Sturgis lineup? Like, if it wasn't COVID, would you fly out to see this festival?
I would not, no. Again, if you like the bands, again, that's your deal. Good for you. I wouldn't risk my health for it, that's for sure. And I don't think I'd see it when it was, like, assured. But it does seem like an odd lineup. Like, a few do make sense, but then I guess they're just trying to, bring in different types of music, maybe, and broaden people's horizons a bit.
I also think a part of it is probably, like bikers probably like music in general, but I don't think most bikers are like music maniacs like we are. You know what I mean? So I think the booker basically just booked bands that was in their price range, and maybe it's from even the same booking agent or like two booking agents. So they say, who can we get? And the booking agent can be like, well, we can get you Smash Mouth. And they're like, fine, it's music. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it'll do.
Right. Like, I doubt whoever booked the music was like, all right, we're going to need 38 Special. We're going to need Molly Hatchet. We're going to need Nazareth. You know, like they're probably not thinking that way. Probably like, we need music that people want to see, you know. So I do give Sturgis credit for Bones, Thugs, and Harmony. Not that I'm a fan, but I mean, honestly, all the best festivals, like, do have a few left field. And maybe Bones, Thugs, and Harmony isn't a left field pick. I mean, I know the biker culture is probably more varied and diverse than people might think it is. But honestly, festivals are definitely made better by left field picks. I remember I saw Punk Rock Bowling at Asbury Park, and they had Charles Bradley there, who is deceased now, but was an amazing soul singer. And it was like punk, and then Charles Bradley came out and did basically soul in its classic best form, and he stole the crowd's breath. He was so amazing. So if he wasn't there, the festival wouldn't have – it would just have been, oh, here's a bunch of punk bands. But with Charles Bradley there, it's like, here's a bunch of punk bands and something that might expand your mind, which I thought was real cool. I'm not saying Bones, Thugs, and Harmony will expand your mind, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, for sure. Break it up a bit.
So speaking of bands that are expanding people's mind, Bad Religion, they put out a new song. It's called Faith Alone 2020. In 2020, is Bad Religion a band that's going to solve all our problems and mobilize the youth? Or are they just old men doing their thing and making other old men thinking they're doing something when really they're just listening to an MP3 and aren't really changing anything? What's your stance on Bad Religion 2020?
Oh, that's hard. Because, Bad Religion are one of the, in my opinion, they're one of the best bands. And they're so good, and I don't know, you can listen to pretty much anything, and just, it's a soundtrack, right? I know in high school, No Control was, for some reason, the album of theirs I really latched on to one year. I think because, it's under 30 minutes, but, Like it has I Want to Conquer the World on it, and then you can't really listen to that without wanting to conquer the world. But with this, like, if I go at it from a perspective of, okay, I don't know who Bad Religion are, and I'm going to listen to this song, it's a good song, but I wouldn't listen to more of them if that's all that I'd heard of them, you know? And then it's like, do I like the song because I like the band? Like, do I like this version because I like the band? If it wasn't, like, Bad Religion, would I still like this version of the song? I thought it was decent. I like the original version a lot better, but this one was good, too. What are your thoughts?
You know, I've never really been a Bad Religion fan. I'm not a hater, but I'm not really a fan, just because it always seems too smooth, too pop to me, honestly. Like, yeah. Bad Religion has never set my mind on fire, like Black Flag or the Circle Jerks or Off or any other Keith Morris band, or yeah. or I'm trying to think, you know, or like the Dwarves or the Dead Kennedys or even like the Pagans. Like Bad Religion mm-hmm. always just seems too radio friendly to me, and it never really sparks a chord. You know, Bad Religion is in somewhat of a difficult point, at a difficult juncture. One credit that you have to give to Green Day, who are a little bit younger than Bad Religion, but somewhat analogous, is Green Day's been around a long time, but kids still love, like their audience hasn't aged, you know? Yeah. And so when Billy Joe Armstrong is like, blah, blah, you know, I believe blah, 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 and sometimes he makes some good points, the youth are affected by that. I don't know if that was true like 3 years ago. I don't know if Green Day still influences the youth now, but 3 years ago, three or four, it definitely was the truth, you know? And I know that because I went and saw Billy Joe's side band. It was like the Trash Bags or something. What was the name of that band he had very briefly? Do you remember the band I'm talking about? It doesn't matter. It was like one of his side bands. And okay. I'll look it up on Discogs while we're talking. But sure. But like it was all like kids, like well, not all kids, but like there was 14, 15, 16 year olds there. And you gotta remember, in 2015, Green Day was, let's see, 30 years old, about 30 yeah. years old. So that means if we compare Green Day to the Rolling Stones, that means at that point, the Rolling Stones were putting out Voodoo Lounge, which I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan. But, like, the kids were not moved by Rolling Stones' Voodoo Lounge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But if you go see Billy Joe now, I mean, not now, but, like, maybe a few years ago, then, like, the kids were there. So that's, like, cool. You know, I mean, that's cool to a degree. Yeah. But with Bad Religion, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's a bunch of kids. I think it's a bunch of people my age and older and maybe a little bit younger, you know. But I mean, they're in a difficult position. Like, from one perspective, they could be like, all right, we're not getting kids anymore. Let's quit, you know. Or they could mm-hmm. be like, well, we're just going to keep making the points that we feel are important still. And if people want to listen, they can listen, and we're going to make valid points, you know? So, I mean, what do you want them to do? I mean, like, it's tough to remain relevant to the youth for 30 or 40 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Without going, like, full kind of more mainstream leaning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, do you think if Bad Religion went, like, ultra pop, like, the kids would like them?
Probably not, but they'd reach a wider audience, so it'd be kind of like rolling the dice a bit. I think they lose a lot of credibility. I think they lose a lot of fans because it seems so inauthentic, but it might bring in a fresh, like, a fresh face kind of thing. I'm not saying, like, do it, but, like, you know, it would have a possible benefit if they did.
Yeah.
I'd probably stop listening to them if they did, but
I would be interested to see if the kids aren't. I don't think they are. I mean, if you look at the comment section, it's all the same old heads, you know.
Yeah.
But I know. Do you know? Are the kids in the Bad Religion these days, or you don't know?
There was so where I grew up is very small, and not a lot of people like punk music. So there was one kid in my high school, and I had like, we were in the same grade, but, like, I think he had, like, spiked hair and everything, and one day I was wearing a Sid and Nancy shirt, and he came up and, like, hugged me. It was, like, the best day of my life. But he really was the only person who I ever have seen wear a Bad Religion t-shirt that wasn't
an old fart.
Yeah. Above 30.
That answer, there you go. The Billy Joe Armstrong band was the long shot, and this is do you know who was in the long shot? I mean, I saw them live, but do you know who was in them?
No, I don't think so.
It's Billy Joe Armstrong. He did all the instruments on the record. It's a solo record. He did all the instruments.
That's nuts.
I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. I don't think the record was that great, but it's cool he did that, you know? So, I saw him live. People were – this is the long shot. I don't know why I'm talking about the long shot, but I saw the long shot live. People were, like, freaking out. I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay. You know, I'm not trying to be a hater, but, you know, I thought it was okay. Speaking – here's a story. We're hitting all the high marks today. Maybe we should hit something – let's do something happy, and then we'll play – well, no, because we got some bummer stuff on the back end too. All right, let's just dive into this one. Cal Cross, they're releasing their third record in the fall. And if you don't know the story of Cal Cross, here's the story of Cal Cross. Long time ago, there's a band called Amoebix. And the two main Amoebix guys are Rob Miller and Stig Miller, and they're brothers. And Amoebix, I think, is unquestionably the first crust punk band. And I think they're an astoundingly, astoundingly amazing band. One of my favorite bands of all time. And they kind of combined like paganism with punk, with a political ideology to a degree, and they are just an astoundingly – if you haven't heard the album Arise, you should go check it out because it is fantastic. They broke up in 88, I think, or maybe it was 86, right around there. Between 86 and 88, they broke up. And Robin Miller kind of disappeared for a while. Stig did a band called Zygo, which was really cool. Oh, pretty cool. Anyways, and then kind of somewhat out of the blue, in around 2012 – oh, no, yeah. No, in 2007, I think it was, Amoebix reformed. And they put out a reunion album called Sonic Mass, which was amazing. Like, it was probably the best comeback record I've ever heard. It was great. And then, of course, Amoebix breaks up again around 2012. Then, about 2014, Rob Miller forms Tal Cross. And the first Tal Cross record is actually what the second Amoebix reunion album was supposed to be and some other stuff. And it was him and Andy Lefton of War Plague, John Misery of Misery, Michael Away of the Canadian thrash band that everybody loves, not Excite. What's the Canadian thrash band that everyone loves? I can't remember. Not Anvil.
Do you know a song?
Voivod.
Okay.
And so it was pretty cool. I didn't think the first Tal Cross album was amazing, but I thought it was very good. They put out a second album I thought was very good. Then they were going to put out a third record on Relapse, and it was called Messengers of Deception. And then out of the blue, Tal Cross posts on their Facebook that we're not putting out a record on Relapse. We'll keep you updated. And everyone's like, wow, that's weird. Then the next day, Relapse is like, yeah, we're not putting out the Tal Cross record because Rob Miller thanked this guy called Gerard Menowin in the liner notes. And as it turns out, and the story gets wackier. So Gerard Menowin he was born a Jewish guy. His father is an extremely famous Jewish violinist. And if you're into violin music, then he's like – not like the Bad Religion of violin, but maybe like, you know, the adolescence of violin. Like, people know him, you know. And so – and also he's famous for his Jewish roots, and that was a big part of his music or whatever. So this guy's son, Gerard Menowin, turns out he's a Holocaust denier. And he wrote at least one book on – I believe it's the Holocaust didn't happen or it happened but not in the way most people think. Either way, I don't really care. He's a whack job. And so Relapse said to Rob, did you mean to thank this guy in your liner notes? And he said yes. And that was frustrating on a lot of levels. It's because it's like, how is Rob Miller, the dude from Amoebix, like thanking a Holocaust denier? But also, Rob, you could have wiggled out of it. You could have been like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, and like you could have solved it. But instead he held his ground, to his credit, to I guess. And he said that Gerard Menowin, I did thank him because I've learned a lot of things reading his books. Rob Miller did not say that he's a Holocaust denier. But he didn't back down from thanking Gerard Menowin in his liner notes. And so the band broke up and the record was dropped from Relapse. And Rob Miller says, I'm not down and out. I'm going to re-record the entire album and put it out myself. And that's what he's doing. So he re-recorded the whole album. He's just with some other musicians, but we don't know who those are. And somewhat interestingly is the new Tao Cross album, Messengers of Deception, which is a re-recorded version of the old one, is going to come out on Easy Action Records. And do you know Easy Action Records?
I am not familiar.
Easy Action Records is a relatively well-known, independent, genuine, bona fide record label in the UK. They've put out stuff like Dexy's Midnight Runners. They put out some Johnny Thunder stuff, some Iggy Pop stuff. You know, they're very much the UK equivalent of Bomp Records in the United States in that they've put out some cool stuff. They put out some garbage. A lot of it is semi-legit, but some of it is straight-up legit, you know.
Sure,
and,
okay.
And so, they're like a legit label. They're not like some white power label that is like sketchy, you know.
Right.
And
for
so,
sure.
But they're putting out this record. So there's a couple things to unpack here, Em. A, should we even be covering this? You know, Rob Miller didn't say he was a Holocaust denier, but he did say he was influenced by the writings of a Holocaust denier. Mm-hmm. And also, is it weird that Easy Action is putting this out? Are they putting themselves like on the train tracks? And so what should we do? And this is the bigger question is, if our favorite artists have sketchy views or are weird, should we just cancel them entirely? Now, obviously, I think we all agree, if a band is like, we hate black people, or we hate whatever, we can't write about that, you know? I mean, that's got to be a hard line, you know what I mean? Like, we can't be messing around with that, you know?
Right.
But how about when they're somewhat on the periphery, you know what I mean? And the other thing is, people still cover, not Behemoth, what the hell's the name of that band? But actually, Behemoth has got issues too. Burzum. Yeah. And that dude is a white power dude, you know. He says he's not, but he clearly is.
He's
you know?
Crazy.
So anyways, but people straight up cover Burzum. And Burzum's worse than Rob Miller, but doesn't mean we shouldn't cover Rob Miller. And it's further complicated, Em, because I've interviewed Rob multiple times, and I like Rob. I certainly disagree with the idea that Gerard Menowin is cool. I think it's stupid and it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But I haven't turned my back on Rob entirely because I feel – Maybe he's gone through a rough patch, you know, and maybe he's just not doing that well right now. I don't know. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So personally, I disagree with thanking Gerard Menowin, but I haven't turned my back on him as a person. You know, I don't agree with the viewpoint with the Holocaust and all thing and all, but I don't think he should be erased from history and then I'll never talk to him again. And if he asked me, I would tell him that, you know. So this whole thing is causing a lot of mixed emotions for me. You know, so I don't know. What are you thinking? Should we not cover it? And if you don't want to, if you want to not address it head on, you don't have to. But should we cover Tao Cross? How about Easy Action? Are they asking for trouble? You know, what's going on here?
It's really, really tricky. Like, that's something that I found with, like, well, you mentioned Behemoth. And, like, I loved Behemoth. And then I found out some stuff. And then it was kind of like, you know,
You mean the fascist stuff, like how the Behemoth guy is very anti-fascist? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, right. I didn't know that, and then it was like, oh no. So now it's kind of like, okay, you know, I don't want to listen to them anymore, and I've stopped covering them and giving them press and whatever, right? Because it's like I don't want to be associated with that. So with the record label, like I think that's something too. Is like. It's hard to distance the art from the artist sometimes. And when, like, I know you said, like, he's come out and said he's not a Holocaust denier, right?
He has said that he's not a Holocaust denier, but he hasn't been that vocal about it. Like, you think, like...
Right.
Like let's say you think this guy Gerard Menowin, like, you know, he makes some good points about some things. You think you'd be like, listen, I'm definitely not down with the Holocaust denial, but like, well, so we have to, there's a lot to unpack here, so we got to back up. So right now,
okay.
Rob Miller is really into Gnosticism, pagan Gnosticism. You know what pagan Gnosticism is, Em?
I know what paganism is. I'm not sure.
So pagan roughly, and I'm sure this is slightly wrong. So all you know, esoteric Gnosis guys, don't yell at me, I don't care. Roughly, Gnosticism is the idea that the world that we live in doesn't exist, nothing exists, all of this is fake, right?
Oh, okay, I've heard of that.
It's created by a creature called the Demiurge, or Abraxas, or however you want to phrase it, that thinks it created the universe, or all universes, but didn't really, and in fact was created by another entity that might not even know that it exists. And that's roughly paganism. And the idea, I mean, not paganism, Gnosticism, rather. And right. the idea behind pagan Gnosticism is nothing is real, everything is a lie, right? Got and so it. Rob Miller is really, really into all these like conspiracy things that like, you know, this is not real or that's not real or chemtrails and everything's a lie and the universe doesn't even actually exist. Hence the name of the record, Messengers of Deception, you know. Right. And so this guy, Gerard Menuhin, I don't know a whole lot about him. He's a Holocaust denier, but he's also into that kind of whacked out, this doesn't exist, that doesn't exist. It's a lot, you know what I mean? Okay. So you would think Rob Miller would be like, listen, I am not down with the Holocaust denial. That's whack. However, you know, maybe the universe doesn't actually exist, which I think if he just said that, it'd be less sketchy. You know what I mean? But he's not being like super clear about it. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, kind of dancing around the subject a little bit.
Yeah,
because that was something I was going to ask, too. Like, if you would thank somebody who's denied the Holocaust, like, what are you really promoting at the same time? But, yeah, with you saying that he's kind of into the same thing with, like, nothing is real and everything. But still, it's an odd person to thank.
Yeah,
you know, unless you're like into it fully.
Yeah, it's true, you know. And you could have wiggled out of it. You could have been like, you know, oh, I didn't know he was about that. I just read some other pamphlet. You know what? Like you know, you didn't. So to a degree, it feels like listen, I'm not friends with Rob Miller, but I've interviewed him. And I think we're friendly. It feels like you're losing a friend. Like I can think of. Well, actually, I'll tell him. I don't know if the story's interesting or not. So my friends, my best friends and I have been friends pretty much since kindergarten. Kindergarten and fourth grade. And so for a while, one of our friends started acting like really odd. Like he would like we'd be hanging out and he would just go away for like 4 hours and come back. Or we'd be like going to the ball game. And then he'd be like, here's another. Like, so one time we were down the beach and we were hanging out and he ordered like 10 pizzas and then left. And the pizza guy shows up, and the guy's like, I got your 10 pizzas. And my other friend Duncan is like, I didn't order 10 pizzas. And the guy's like, I got an order for 10 pizzas, you know. And Duncan didn't have the money on him. And so Duncan's like, I don't have money on me. And he's like, can you wait here for my other friends to show up? And the pizza guy was cool. And so then my friend Matt and I showed up, and we paid for the pizzas. And it was like weird. That doesn't sound that weird. But when someone starts actually behaving like bizarrely, like it's a very unsettling thing. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of some other examples of just the weirdness that he would do. You know, like one time, like he like left and we called the cell phone. And he went to pick up his cell phone and then he showed back up like 3 hours later and said, "Oh, I just needed to go buy some lotion." And we're like, "What are you talking about?" You know, it's like very odd. And so, anyways, the point is, it turned out that my pal was gay and like he was just going through like some stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And so then after like he worked through all that. Oh, and not like another thing is like so. So, like, one time he tried to give me, like, all his DVDs when DVDs were, like, worth a lot of money, like, in the 90s. Yeah. And he tried to give me, like, $600 in DVDs. I'm like, Chris, I can't take your DVDs. Like, that's, like, $600. And when you're 18 or whatever, like, $600 is a lot of money. I'm like, I can't take, like, $600 in DVDs from you. That's weird, you know. So, anyway, it turned out that he was gay. And so, like, he kind of worked through that and became semi-normal. But he's always kind of an odd cat. So what I'm saying is Rob Miller is acting somewhat odd or very odd. And as a fan and as a friendly acquaintance, it's very disheartening and it makes you feel strange. You know what I mean? It almost is like losing a friend. I actually listened to Amoebics for the first time in a year, like a week ago. And I loved it. But it's like I listened to the band for an entire year. I'm like, oh, there's so much baggage with it now, you know?
Yeah, like you can't just kind of relax with it. And it can't ever be what it was. And I think that's the big thing too, just like like a sense of loss.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not gonna nail M to the Tal Cross and ask her if we should cover Tal Cross. I'm on the fence. I'd like to cover Tal Cross just because I'm a fan of the music, but I'm aware of the problematic associations, you know. But on the other, I mean, I don't want to be a cop, but you do have to draw a line. If someone's like, I hate black people or I hate Jewish people, we can't be covering that because we can't be inviting that element into the you know, punk news. But when it's on the line like this, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm bummed out. Anyways, let's play a song. Em, you got a song to play?
Yeah, I do. It's called I'm Gonna Tell My Therapist on You.
Ah, perfect!
Yeah! It's by Baltimore-based like pop punk, or sorry, punk, like pop punk kind of band called Pink Shift. It's very upbeat. Listen to it lots of times, very energetic. They only have a handful of songs out so far. I read somewhere they were going to release their EP this fall, but it's been pushed back because of the virus, so enjoy.
Are back, and that was a cool song by M. More M. Who was that again?
Pink Shift.
Pink Shift.
Yeah.
Out of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore. A lot of cool bands coming out of Baltimore. Band called Clear Channel, which is spin off of Downtown Boys. Of course, Max Levine Ensemble, and band called Minor Threat. A lot of cool bands. Oh no, they're not out of Baltimore. I'm an idiot. Let me watch in the D.C. Anyways, all right. Listen. Speaking of idiots, check this idiot out. The CEO of Spotify, as I'm pulling the article up right now, and the thing is not loading so quickly. All right, here we go. The CEO of Spotify is a dude called David Eck. And he's worth about, I think, $4 billion or something like that. And on Spotify, bands get paid about 0.003 cents per stream. That's not 3 cents per stream. That's 0.03 cents per stream. And so basically, you got to play 1,000 songs to make 3 cents on Spotify, and so bands aren't making any money. And in an interview, David Eck basically said bands need to work harder, and they can't release an album every 3 to 4 years to make money. And it did not go well across all the media. People basically said this guy's an asshole and is out of touch. And I agree, he's an asshole. Is he out of touch? I mean, Spotify, along with all the streaming devices, have basically cut musician income in half or less, because musicians make no money off music now, or almost no money off music, and it's all from touring, and of course touring is wiped out. Meanwhile, this guy, who's a billionaire from literally ripping off artists, is telling them that they should work harder, which is perverse. It's perverse. But on the other hand, it's, well, bands don't have to license their music to Spotify, which is a little bit easier said than done, but you could not have your music on Spotify. But that's what the customers are demanding, you know. And the other weird thing is, as with all these kind of articles where billionaires are being obscene and just gross and totally disrespectful, we always have like these knuckleheads chip in that are like, you know, you're buying into the lie. You know, this is just a guy making his money honestly. You know, don't be a beta male, be an alpha male like me. This guy posting on anonymously on a message board. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like this billionaire, even though I work at, you know, Blockbuster. You know, I'm just he and I are in the same, you know, the same league. You know. So listen. If you ask me, well, Em, I'll let you react, and then I'll react after that. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you agree? Do you think David Eck is right and Band need to work harder? And why didn't we think of Spotify? Why didn't you and I think of Spotify first? Let's play bands' music and not pay them. That will be our business model. It's a great business model. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, just take a few cents off. It'll add up to like what, $4 billion in no time.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, I really don't understand how people can do this. Like, I'm sure he's faced hardships or whatever.
No,
I don't
he
know
hasn't.
Anything. He's a
dick. Honestly, this dude is relatively impressive in that I think he's like Norwegian or something like that. He's from one of the Scandinavian countries. Yeah. He started like a web company when he was 14, and he was like a millionaire by the time he was 17 just from building websites, which is impressive. Doesn't mean he's not a monster, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like he had to step on some people probably. But yeah, like to make your money off of kind of screwing people over, like, and call that an honest living and say you're hardworking, that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, I'd like to see, so he should put himself on the schedule he's proposing for artists, and he should have to produce albums and like music videos and tours. Like, he should have to do everything he's saying, like, oh, you know, the small band where everyone has a day job and they're working on making music their livelihood, you know, yeah, work harder, you're not doing enough. And it's like, I don't understand that way of thinking.
It is like the French Revolution in that right now, and this has been the theme for the past 10 or 15 episodes, which is true, is rich, super, where there used to be kind of somewhat of a continuum from poor to wealthy, now there's like poor, a shrinking middle class, and uber rich, you know? And yeah. it's like the French Revolution where the uber rich are literally doing what they want without shame. You know what I mean? And they're just stomping and laughing at people that aren't uber rich. And they're just abusing and taking advantage of super poor, anybody that's not uber rich, you know, the middle class and the poor. And it's disgusting. Like it's disgusting. However, here's the bummer. First of all, is this statement going to affect Spotify at all? No. You know, Spotify, yeah. like he can say whatever he wants, and it's not going to hurt Spotify at all. But whose fault is that? Em, it's your fault. It's my fault. Yeah. It's anybody that's using Spotify, anybody that streams music, it's your fault. And I'm being – like I actually don't stream at all. I'm against streaming. But it's your fault because you know what? If you didn't stream and if you said, you know what, I'm going to buy downloads from Bandcamp or I'm going to buy CDs or records, you know – mm-hmm. Or even I'm going to download from iTunes, which I don't even know if iTunes is still around, honestly. I don't really use it. But if you did that instead of streaming and getting everything for essentially free, Spotify would collapse. Apple Music would collapse. I mean, not Apple. Google Stream, whatever it would. I mean, Amazon Stream would collapse. All of those would collapse, and bands would start making 90s money again or early 2000s money and make a sustainable living. And that means Jesse Michaels can make a living off his music and keep doing more awesome music. That means Nightbirds could be a touring band that makes money off their music and make more awesome music. So it very much is the golden calf – or no, the golden goose. People are choking the golden goose because they want everything for free, but in the long run, it means you actually get less. And the only person really at fault – I mean, yeah, the system is out of whack. Yes, it's messed up. But if you, the consumer, stopped streaming music, this would all go away tomorrow. Spotify could be dead in a week. If we all said we're not going to Spotify anymore, and it would literally go away in a week, and bands would get that much more money. And you know what? I buy a lot of CDs, Em. I buy a lot of records.
Yeah.
And if most people bought 1/100th of the amount that I buy, well, maybe 1/40th that I buy, bands could be making a pretty good living. And you know what? It's not that much more money, actually. It really isn't. You know what I mean? Like, instead of spending $4 at Starbucks, maybe spend $8 on a download or a CD. You know what I mean? Right. It's our fault. I've been kind of doom and gloom lately, and I hate doing it. But, man, like, the past – I don't know, man. The past year has not looked good for the human race. Humans are not doing that great for the past year or so. You know what I mean? We're doing pretty lousy, you know? And you could say, no, it's just the super rich people. But, you know – but, like, you know what? Jeff Bezos is evil, you know? Ooh. David Eck, I don't know if he's evil, but he's greedy. If people said, you know what, we're not going to use Amazon anymore, Amazon dies. If people said, we're not going to use Spotify anymore, Spotify dies. So at the end of the day, it's us. And so it's up to us to make it end. And I don't know if we have it in us. I really don't, you know.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Oh, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
No, I think... like, exactly. People just need to realize that and be like, no, you know, you're not powerless. Like, you don't have to have Spotify. You don't have to buy things from Amazon. There are alternatives that benefit, like, your community and bands and everybody, and will do you, like, so much good in the long run rather than, again, yeah, supporting the Bezos regime and the Eck scene.
I like your phrase, the Bezos regime. I like that. I don't know if people feel that they're powerless. I think people are lazy, you know? I mean, you know? But anyways, let's talk about somebody that's friggin' awesome and is still friggin' awesome. Jello Biafra, lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, lead singer of Jello Biafra, Guantanamo School of Medicine. Their, I guess, fourth album, I guess, is how you would phrase it, is coming out sometime this fall. And it's called Tea Party Revenge Porn. And the new song is called The Last Big Gulp. And it's coming out. Are you on the Jell-O train? Or are you like, Jell-O, hang it up. The best years are behind you. What's your stance?
Jell-O, keep going. The best years are in front of you. You can only go up.
You can only go up. I would say that. Jell-O's great.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just with everything that's going on, like, he's not going to run out of stuff to talk about. He's not going to run out of, like, anything, you know. There's always going to be something new and different and everything. And, he is the one of, like, the punk figures that I have, like, the utmost respect for. Because with everything I've seen and listened to and everything with him, he has his beliefs and he doesn't, like, stray from his beliefs. And, you know, he holds his ground from, again, what I've seen and what I've heard and everything. And it's just amazing that, you know, you can keep your personhood and, you know, continue doing good things, putting good things out, putting out really good music, you know.
Well said. I will say Jell-O is a beacon of light in these dark times, in that Jell-O truly means what he says, and honestly, everybody's a hypocrite to a degree. You're not going to find a single person on the planet that isn't at least somewhat hypocritical, but Jell-O is among the least hypocritical there are. I mean, really, like you could probably ping him here and there, but you could ping anybody here and there. But Jell-O is the man. He truly believes what he says, and honestly, I'm so glad that he's still rocking. You know, I mean, he is still rocking.
Yeah.
What did you think of this track?
I thought it was really good. I like the visuals too.
What I liked a lot about this is Jell-O was a huge fan of garage rock, and that's actually how he got into music to begin with. Paul Revere and the Raiders, I think, like, was one of his first favorite bands. I like how this is Jell-O and the GSM kind of doing garage rock, which I thought was kind of a really cool throwback to, like, what started him off on his road to music.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're saying that Jell-O's great, and meanwhile, we were punching up on Bad Religion. Are we being hypocritical? Are Bad Religion and Jell-O the same, or is Jell-O more real and in touch with the kids, or not?
That's a good way to look at it. I'd say Jell-O's more, like, with the kids and stuff, because I like Bad Religion. I think they're good. I think they have great songs. I think they have great intentions. I think they do mean what they say, but there's still like a bit of hesitation there in one way, and then with Jello he just kind of like comes out and says it, and that's how it is, and that's how it will be, or well, that's how it is anyways, you know, that's how he's gonna say it. And like strikes me as very honest, and I think that's something like honesty and authenticity and really like meaning what you're saying and putting yourself behind a cause or behind a belief system and sticking like through with it. Again, that's a good belief system. I think's very in touch more than anything.
Well said. I agree 100%. I do think Jello puts himself out there without thinking about how he could maybe mediate or moderate who he is. Like you get true Jello. Yeah. What do you think of the title of this album, though? Tea Party Revenge Porn. I love Jello. The title feels a little dated to me. You know, like, is anybody talking about the Tea Party now? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
I think what he's saying is the current administration is the metaphorical revenge porn of the Tea Party. But it's like, yeah. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But listen, I'm excited for the album. I think it's going to rock. Let's talk about another band that is getting people excited, Grumpster. Grumpster is the latest band on Asian Man Records. People are digging this band. They put out a new song, and it is called – the new song by Grumpster is called Teeth. And M, what do you think of the Grumpster? People are digging this band. Are you digging this band? Is this the new wave of punk?
You know, it could be. I do like them. I listen to Teeth. I really like Teeth. It's one of those songs that, you know, like you listen to and then, you know, you remember it after one listen. So then you go back and then you're noticing like different things each time you listen to it. That's something that I found with it, in one way. So that was kind of cool. And then I went back and like listened to, some Underwhelmed, their first album, and it was really good. So I think they're going places.
Yeah, as far as what the modern music scene is looking for in the rock context, I agree with you. I think this band is interesting in that they have somewhat heavy 90s vibes, 90s alt vibes, which people are really into right now. And I dug this track, man. I mean, I'm not in love with this band, but I like them, man. So we'll see where it goes. I think. But then again, I mean, this band is even aimed at me. This band is aimed at a whole different audience, which is fine. You know, and I think to that audience, they speak a great deal. I guess the bigger question maybe, well, that's too big of a question. So let's go to another Teeth-related band, Milk Teeth. They've released a video for Sharks. They're from Britain, and M, you are a fan of Milk Teeth. So what's the deal with this video? What's the deal with Milk Teeth?
Milk Teeth are really great. They have, again, just so much energy, and their songs are really catchy and really good. You know, like they're one of the bands that I'd really like to see live too, because I think they'd just be like nuts. And with the video for Sharks, what they did was like a fan submitted video thing. So like people would listen to the song and then do something fun, and then, you know, like the best would be all edited together. And there's been a few of those with the pandemic going on, and I think it's going to continue past the pandemic, just because it involves people with the band who might not be, like, who could be all over the world. Like, again, you know, they're in England, and they can interact with anybody, have anyone in their video. And when I watched it, it kind of like had like the most community feel out of all of the pandemic fan shot videos that I've watched so far. You know, everyone seemed to be having a great time, and it just like, it was just good all around, you know. And it's like, everyone wear your masks, do your stuff. We have to get like actual shows back. So this can be this feeling can be amplified. But that was the first thing that I got that was, you know, very, very hopeful, I guess, with fan shot videos.
The video is cool. It's got all these different people doing the band. And I like how it's got the band actually interspersed within the video.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives it like a cohesion. It's cool. I dug this video. Let's see. What else we got here? Wrapping up the podcast. We got a – let's see here. Let's cover this one right here. And then we got one more that we're going to cover. Byproduct. Byproduct is a brand new band that not a whole lot of people know about. They have a new album coming out soon. It's called Gun to a Knife Fight. And they put out a video called Selfish Girl. And I don't know, and you want the first word, or do you want me to take the first word on this one?
You go ahead.
We premiered this video, and I thought it rocked. I really dug this video. In the video, the band is a band, but in the video, it's got the singer in all four parts of the band. I thought it was four different people, but it's actually the same person, which I thought was an interesting artistic choice, but I did wonder how the other people in the band felt. And I thought this track rocked, but on the other hand, it does sound a lot like Hole. You know, it does sound a lot like maybe too much, or the Muffs, and maybe too much. So do I? The question, Em, is: do I dig this, or do I dig the Muffs? You know what I mean?
Yeah. How much? So if you like listen to the song with like your eyes closed or like not looking at it, what like would you go? The actual band, or would you go an influence?
Wait, say that again?
If you're not looking at the name of the band, you're just listening to the song, who do you think it is?
Oh, the influence? Hole.
Okay. So, like, does it seem more to you like they're copying them, or that's just an influence they brought in?
Well, it sounds to me – well, I think it's a heavy influence. But the other thing is maybe I'm being a dick because, you know, buzzy punk-ish rock band with a singer that's got an attitude that's kind of like Courtney Love, you know. So maybe I'm being a dick. Like there's a million guy band, there's a million guy hardcore bands, right? And when I hear, like, a hardcore band, I'm not like, oh, they're ripping off SSD or they're ripping off, you know, Poison. I'm like, oh, it's another generic, you know, hardcore band. But the fact that I'm saying, oh, they're like Hole, maybe I'm being a dick just because it's a girl singer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I dug it. I like it. I've heard the album. I actually like the album a lot, except for two. There's two tracks that I don't like, really. But I like the rest of the album. The two track. There's one track called I Was Raped, and it's just her like talking about how she was raped, and it's a very uncomfortable track. But maybe that's good art. You know what I mean? So maybe so I can't say I don't like that. It's a track that makes me feel uncomfortable, but maybe that's good art, and I'm not against that. There's another track called Get Out of My Butt, where she just goes, get out of my butt, get out of my butt, which I don't like. I don't like the word butt. I don't like the image of it. You know, I'm just like, what is this? However, the rest of the album I dig a lot. So I'm very conflicted on this band. Is this a manufactured band, or am I just being a dick and thinking it's manufactured because the singer has pink hair and I can't see beyond the pink hair? That's the question. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
I don't. Do you feel manipulated here, or do you feel this is a genuine, organic band?
That's a good question, too.
And if you were in a band, would you be annoyed if the singer, like, let's say you're playing bass in a band, and they put out a video, and the singer is in all four positions? I would be annoyed, honestly. You know what I mean?
If they didn't tell me, I'd be pretty pissed off. Just wake up and you see it.
What do they say? They're like, get ready, our new video's coming out tomorrow. You're like, yay! And but what do they, Em, like, what if they sat you down and they're like, Em, we're going to put out a video, but we're not going to have you in the video. We're going to have me in the video playing your instrument.
It's all going to be me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But on the other hand, maybe that's interesting art, you know? I don't know. So I'm very much on the fence with this band. I somewhat feel manipulated, but then again, does that matter? Because six of the eight tracks, I think, are pretty banging.
I don't – when I listened to it, I didn't find it, like, that manufactured.
Oh, no. So did you dig it or you did not like it?
I didn't mind it. It was just – it was good to listen to. I'll check the album out, but, it was just – like, it was all right. I liked the video. It was kind of funny, like, with having the lead singer play everybody. But, yeah, like, if you just saw it, you kind of assume that it's a solo act in one way. I think her hair was the best. It was pretty cool. But I think it's a good track to get them, to get people, like, interested, you know, and be like, okay, I want to know what else the band has, what else they're capable of, what else they produce. So I think it's a good thing to, like, pique interest.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well said. Let's talk, let's close up with one of my favorite bands, Gwar. And Gwar is re-releasing the seminal Scum Dogs of the Universe album. And if you don't know, well, everybody knows Gwar is, but Scum Dogs of the Universe is their second album and what many would consider to be their most important album. And it's considered also to be their first great album. It's the first album where they went thrash or totally thrash. And it's also had a very high increase in production value from the first album. And also the songwriting somewhat improved on Scum Dogs as well. Although I'd argue the first album actually has pretty good songwriting too, now that I listen to it now. Anyways, so they're releasing a 30th anniversary of Scum Dogs of the Universe. They announced a very expensive box set, which I ordered, and then they were like, oh, also we're going to put out a $20 CD if you want that instead. I was like, thanks a lot. But here's the twist, Em. The twist is they're re-releasing the album. It's remastered, but it's also extensively remixed, and a lot of the songs are now extended versions. And I've heard the remix, and it is quite different. The main difference is there's much more clarity to all the instruments, so you can hear what all the instruments are doing at once. So if you're a musician, it's pretty interesting. But it doesn't quite have the wall of sound smash that the original CD version had. And the other question is so there has been some tinkering with it. Would fans rather have the reissued version altered, or would you rather have the extended tracks, the altered tracks, as bonus tracks and have the original album left as is? My perspective is, you know what, like, I hate, like, it's a great album. Like, it's an amazing album. To me, it's a 10 out of 10 album. So remaster, that's cool. Make it sound a little bit better. I don't know if I want to remix because I love the classic. As to the extended versions, I'm glad I get to hear them, but I want them as bonus tracks. I don't want the original version messed with because it's perfect. So why mess with it? It's not as if it was a bad album that could be fixed up like some of the David Bowie albums from the mid-80s that they're kind of reworking. It's a perfect album, so why mess with it, you know? But on the other hand, Refused the same thing, and people loved the altered version of Shape of Punk to Come, which is on the DVD version of the album. And what's your stance?
I think you should leave. Like, if you want to remaster the album, like, go ahead, do that. But with, like, remixes and extended tracks, like, definitely offer them as, like, bonus tracks or, it, you know, like a two CD kind of thing. You know, one with just the album and then the other one with all of the extras. Because it's interesting and it's really cool to hear alternate versions of songs that you really like. But it's kind of unsettling at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think, like, definitely offer it, but offer it as, like, separate, like, as bonus tracks, as, like, an added thing, not as the album itself.
The counter argument is we want the record to be what we originally intended it to be. And sometimes that cuts the mustard and sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to contradict myself. Yeah. Is the recent Crass remasters, which clean up the sound, are so much better than the original CDs. So much better. The original CDs just sound like noise. The remastered versions, which have more clarity instruments, you're like, oh my god, Crass actually rocks. But yeah. I don't know if that cuts the mustard here, honestly, because the original Scum Dogs CD is fantastic. So I mean, I'm definitely going to get it, and I did get it already. But I'm on the fence. I think I'd rather have a two disc version, the original version, and then maybe the new version or something like that, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, you can still get the old CD if you want it relatively, actually it's kind of expensive now, but you know, Gwar rules. I'm excited that they're taking care of their catalog and re-releasing cool stuff. And I'm a Gwar fan forever, man. So I love Gwar. Let's see here. I'm going to play a song, I'm going to play a track. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff that has come out lately. I'm trying. Oh, I know what I'm going to play. There's this band called Suck. Have you heard of this band Suck, Em?
I have.
Yeah, you have?
I have.
How'd you hear about them?
I read your review on
So there's this band from Germany that are, like, super rad. They're really not that well-known, but they kind of might blow up. Well, I think they were going to blow up, and then COVID happened, but this band is rad. This band is three people, and the singer, she sings and plays a synthesizer. There's a guitarist and a drummer. I'm not sure if there's a bassist or not. So it gives them kind of, like, a really interesting – they're based in like straight up punk, but then they put some like weird stuff on the back end with the synth and some different weird vocal choices. So I dig this band. They have an EP and a split 7-inch out right now. The EP is called Frog. I'm going to play the first track from Frog, and this is called Give Me Your Number by Suck. And that was Suck doing Give Me Your Number. I dig this band. People should check them out. I did order the cassette on Bandcamp about a month ago, and it still hasn't said shipped. So I'm a little annoyed at them, M. But, you know, I want my cassette tape. I got the download, yeah. But I want the tape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to tell Suck to send me my cassette tape. Yeah. So listen, M, it was an hour and 15 or so, and it blew by. You know, just me and you hanging out, missing Adam, keeping Adam in our thoughts and our hearts. But he'll be back. And I don't know, anything else you want to tell the Pung News listeners, Em? Anything else you want to rap about?
Wear a goddamn mask.